1 Samuel chapters 27 through 29. These are God's words. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish some day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." Then David arose and went over with 600 men who were with him to Achish, son of Maoch, king of Gath. And so David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. Then David said to Achish, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Girzites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to shore, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And then Achish would say, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David would say, "Against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jerahmeelites, or against the southern area of the Kenites." David would save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying, lest they should inform on us, saying, "Thus David did." And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, "He has made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore he will be my servant forever." Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." So David said to Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. And then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of Yahweh, Yahweh did not answer him, either by dreams, or by Urim, or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." His servant said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one that I shall name to you." Then the woman said to him, "Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?" And Saul swore to her by Yahweh, saying, "As Yahweh lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring Samuel up for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What did you see?" The woman said to Saul, "I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth." So he said to her, "What is his form?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me any more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do." And Samuel said, "So why do you ask me, seeing Yahweh has departed from you and has become your enemy? And Yahweh has done for himself as he spoke by me. For Yahweh has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of Yahweh, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, Yahweh has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, Yahweh will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Yahweh will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, and he was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled, and said to him, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands, and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please, heed also the voice of your maidservant. Let me set a piece of bread before you, and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." So his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice. Then he rose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. And she took flour and kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they rose and went away that night. And the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. And then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. Do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" Then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely, as Yahweh lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the lords do not favor you. Therefore return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, He shall not go up with us to the battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now this is kind of a long passage, but the reason for the length of the passage is it's actually one passage that got interrupted by another. David has gone over to the Philistines, and he has allied himself, at least as far as Achish thinks, with Achish of Gath. And the problem especially arises when Israel is about to fight against the Philistines, and Achish of Gath wants to take David along. But then right at that point where there is the great question, what will happen to David now? Or what will David do now? We get left with a cliffhanger. And he goes into the Saul account. And the Saul account begins with Saul on the other side of the battle lines, noticing that the Philistines have gathered up for battle, and knowing, we know, Saul doesn't know, that David is actually lining up with them. He's in the back of the forces that are lined up right there across the way in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 28. And so the Lord gives us the Saul and the witch of Endor and Samuel right in the middle of this passage about David. And part of the reason is in order to answer a question that many Bible scholars argue over, and that is, was what David was doing right? And the answer in the way that the Holy Spirit gives us the passage is no. It wasn't right. There were some commendable things about it. He very carefully never told a flat-out untruth. When he was wiping out the original inhabitants of the land in Israelite territories, and when Achish asked where he had gone raiding, and he would refer to the territory, and Achish assumed that David was wiping out Israelites, not Malachites, and Geshurites and Gerzites. So David did keep himself from telling an untruth, and he did help the people of Israel by taking out these Gentiles who would frequently raid in these areas of Judah and Benjamin. And so there were some things that David was doing well, but on the whole, the passage starts with, "And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that." And what doesn't David do? David doesn't do what David was doing back in chapter 23, which is inquiring of Yahweh where he should go and who is going to do what. And so he assumes what Saul is going to do, and he assumes that he knows the very best place for him to go. David is not being like David. You know who's actually kind of being like David a little bit? Saul. Saul sees the Philistines gather. Saul wants the word of Yahweh. But Saul can't have it, because he has sinned against the Lord, and the Lord has abandoned him and torn the kingdom away from him. And Saul even goes so far as to the witch of Endor. David doesn't take the Lord's name upon his lips at all. But Saul swears by Yahweh to the witch of Endor. And even Achish, the king of Gath, swears by Yahweh to David in chapter 29. And so we can see the big question that is looming over these three chapters. Is David going to end up being Saul 2.0? Is he going to be someone who seemed to be doing well at the first? And then he quit inquiring of Yahweh, and he started doing according to his own wisdom. And what we have on balance, on the whole, is that the only thing that keeps David from ending up being Saul 2.0 is the grace of God. That God who protects David from Saul, so that Saul doesn't slay him, God who protects David from the Philistines, gets David out of the battle thing. David doesn't actually do anything to get himself out of the battle. God uses the other Philistine kings and their memory of that hit song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. The Lord is the one who delivers David from both Saul and from the Philistines. And the Lord is the one who delivers David from his sin. Because we see in what David was doing that he is capable of being just as wicked as Saul. In fact, when he was wiping out every man, woman, boy, and girl, he was not wiping out the cattle. Some people say, oh, well, these were the original inhabitants of the land. David was only carrying out the orders of the conquest. No, he wasn't. He was keeping stuff for himself when the Lord hadn't told him to keep stuff for himself. And it actually tells us in chapter 27 why he was wiping out man, woman, boy, and girl. It was so that they couldn't go tell on David. It wasn't because they were the enemies of Yahweh. And the Lord reminds us of that by reminding us of the sin for which Saul had been condemned. That he had left some of the sheep alive so that he could, quote unquote, make a sacrifice to Yahweh. And he had left King Agag alive as well. So David was not carrying out the will of the Lord. David was carrying out the will of David. He was justifying himself in his mind because he was not believing in God. And therefore he was doing whatever he thought he could feel good about while protecting himself instead of trusting in the Lord. So we see God is the one who delivers us, whether it's from friends who are acting like enemies, like Saul, or enemies whom we have made to, who might think of us as friends every once in a while, like the Philistines, or, and this is most importantly, or from our own capacity for sin. We see here how far David could fall later when he doesn't go out to war. And he commits adultery with Bathsheba, and he executes Uriah. We know the only hope for David at this point is if God saves him from the sin into which he has fallen. Well, that's also the only hope for David in 1 Samuel chapters 27 to 29. And God did. And my dear children, my dear family, this is the only hope for us. Every one of us have the capacity to fall into great sin. And our only hope is if the Lord protects us from it, the Lord delivers us out of it. Always ask the Lord to lead you not into temptation. Always ask the Lord to deliver you from the evil, and especially the evil in your own heart. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for the wisdom of your Spirit, who carried the prophet along as he composed this, that we might, by the cliffhanger and the interruption, have a good understanding of what you are teaching us here. And we know, O Lord, just like David, we have the capacity for terrible sin, each of us in ourselves. And so we come to you asking you that you would lead us not into temptation, and that if by our own actions or in the wisdom of your providence and the actions of others, we come into a situation in which there is much occasion, intense occasion, for us to sin, we pray that you would deliver us from the evil, and especially the evil in our own hearts. Make us to be believing. Make us to seek your word. Make us to trust you. Make us to be willing that we ourselves should perish, if that's what it costs, in order that we would trust and obey you. Grant to us to know that you are the one who saves us out of every trouble, and that you are our only hope for delivering us even from sinning against you. Do this for us, we ask, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.